Let me show you a couple of differences between the tabernacle and the first and second temples. This is a different temple, and we can know that this temple has never been put up because of some of the items that it says. Now, let me just tell you a couple of things. First of all, in this temple that Jesus Christ is talking about, there's no wall of partition around the temple. In the temple and the tabernacle, there was a wall of partition. It was about waist high. The purpose for the wall of partition was to keep the Gentile from going into the temple complex. So there's no wall of partition here. Why? Well, Jesus Christ said, when I died and was buried and resurrected, I took the wall of partition out, made two people one so they can have access to the temple. When you step into the holy place and look to the right, there's no table of showbread. That 12 loafed high table of showbread will not be there in this temple, this Messiah's temple. The reason is Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. And that's what the table of showbread was looking towards. Every piece of furniture in the temple looked to Jesus Christ. You look over here and there's no menorah, no seven-branch candelabra. In John chapters 8, 9, and 11, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Look, there's no veil of the temple in this temple. Why? When Jesus Christ was crucified, the veil rent from top to bottom, giving us access to the Holy of Holies. You step into the holy place, there's no Ark of the Covenant. You see, the Ark of the Covenant was a model of him to come. And when you have the real thing, you no longer need to model. And so there's no Ark of the Covenant. Jesus Christ will rule and reign as the Ark of the Covenant, as the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Let me show you one more that's so beautiful. And I've had the privilege and opportunity to talk with these people who are preparing to build the next temple in Jerusalem, the Temple Institute. Rabbi Israel Ariel, Rabbi Chaim Richman. I know them both personally. I've been in Chaim Richman's home. He's been on our television program a number of times. He's on my video in the back, ready to rebuild. And I've had great conversations with them because the temple they are preparing to build is a replica of Herod's temple. The great Jewish sage Maimonides prepared all the information that they are following to build that temple. But that's not the temple that Ezekiel is describing here. And one of their biggest hang-ups that we've had great opportunity to discuss is found here in chapter 43, and let me look with you in verse 13. In verse 13, and I'm not going to go into details, but let me just point this out to you. In verse 13 it says, and these are the measures for the altar after the cubits. The cubit is a cubit, and he talks about the altar. The altar was that two-story high complex outside of the entrance to the temple where they would offer the animals. It had four horns on it, the four horns of the altar, and it would stand outside about two stories high. In the tabernacle and the first and second temples, that altar, 15 feet high, had a ramp that would lead from the south going up to the north, ascending up to the top of the altar itself. Now, there was a reason for that. The reason God had them design this altar with a ramp from the south going to the north is because during the time of the tabernacle and the first and second temple, there was a lot of sun worship, S-U-N. And so in order that they would not be looking at the sun, if that ramp had been from the east to the west, when the sun was setting, they would have looked at the sun and been able to worship the sun. If it had been from the west to the east, that ramp going up, they would have looked at the sun in the morning when it would rise and worship the sun. Thus, they put the sloped up ascension to the top of the altar from the south to the north. But I want you to notice something. Look at this altar right here. This altar, I'm not going to go through everything. Just look at verse 17 for a moment. And the settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 broad in the four corners thereof. And the border about it shall be a half a cubit. And the bottom thereof, you can see how detailed it is. And the cubits about. And notice this. And his stairs shall look towards the east. What is that talking about? In other words, let's say this pulpit is the altar. And so the ramp in the other temples and the tabernacle would have been going from the south up to the north. But the stairs, that was a ramp. The stairs are going to be looking out to the east. And so the stairs will be coming from, I don't know direction, but let's just say this is it, from the east up to the altar. Now the name of the altar here is Ariel in Hebrew. which means lion-like, or the Lion of Judah. Now get the picture. These priests will walk up to the stairs to the top of the altar at the Lion of Judah and look into the Holy of Holies, and who will they see? The Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. And they will worship the Son, S-O-N, when they do that. I try to explain that to these Jewish geniuses, and they don't want to take that. I don't quite understand why they're not believing what I'm telling. But you just pray for us. God has opened these unique doors to be able to give them information. There's so much here. One more thing I want to show you before we get to a final item. Look at chapter 45. There is going to be a reinstitution of the sacrificial system in this millennial temple. And the sacrifices are going to be done on a monthly basis, and they're going to be described here. In chapter 45, we see at least three sacrifices that will take place. The first one in verse 15 and 18, the first day of the month to cleanse the sanctuary. Also here in verse 21 for the Passover. Notice this one, verse 21, in the first month, that would be Nisan, in the 14th day of the month, ye shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten, and upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. The sacrificial system will be reinstituted, but who is going to do the sacrifice? It's not going to be Jesus Christ. He is not the prince. He is the king. Who is the prince? Keep your finger here. Go back to chapter 34 just a second. Chapter 34. Remember those I wills that we talked about? Chapter 34, verse 24. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. And I, the Lord, have spoken it. King David is going to be resurrected and be co-regent with Jesus Christ at the temple. Chapter 37 also confirms that that is going to be the case. Chapter 37, verse 24, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments. And then notice in verse 25, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. The word prince is used 24 times in the book of Ezekiel in this portion of Scripture, and it's talking always about King David. So the sacrificial system will be re-implemented during the millennial kingdom. For what purpose? Well, last evening you had a communion service over here. Did you crucify Jesus afresh and anew? The answer is no. Why did you do it? 1 Corinthians 11. Do this in remembrance of me. And the whole purpose. You see, the sacrifices never took away sin in the past. What were the sacrifices for? Looking towards Jesus. Now they're going to be looking back to Jesus. And they're going to be in memorial. That's the only thing I can say. Now, if you don't want to believe that, ask Ezekiel. He has the only answer because God told him this is going to happen. And so there it is. It's going to be a sacrificial system. That's the temple here in the millennial kingdom. The reason I think it's important, listen, the reason I think it's important that you've been able to hear some of this and start to study it is we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ from that temple. We're going to be hanging around that temple. You better know about it. You know, there are 168 verses about the birth of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, four chapters, 168 verses about the birth of Jesus Christ. I would venture to say everybody in here knows all about the birth of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you know about the temple. Allocation of space, 202 verses, and importance of what it's going to be. We're going to be there. We're going to be operating it. We ought to know something about what it's going to be like. Wait a minute. There's a very interesting verse tucked away in Daniel chapter 9.